Before we go into the Word of God this morning, on this 200th anniversary of the Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church, I'd like to try to sing another song about the faithfulness of God. He's been faithful. Because those that are coming behind us, they're watching us. The children and grandchildren, they're watching us every day. Whether we realize it or not, they're smart. And they pick up on things we say and things we do and how we live our lives. And I want it to be to the glory and honor of God, and I know that you do as well. That scripture reading from Psalm chapter 78 that we opened up with teaches that the generation to come, the children, the grandchildren, might know God's Word, even the children that should be born, who should arise and then declare them to their own children. And here's the purpose for it, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now, as we go into our text now and our subject, we want to look at the subject of Jesus gathers His sheep. Jesus gathers his sheep. And we'll start first in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. These verses are actually the verses that the founding members of Bethlehem Church used in the constitution of Bethlehem Church. So in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, Jesus gathers his sheep. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But, now here's a contrast. Listen to this. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Aren't we thankful for his compassion? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we're thankful to be here today on this joyful occasion, the 200th anniversary of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. Father, I'm thankful to be a part of it for the last 30 years and thankful to be their pastor. Thankful for every member and friend and every visitor that you send our way from time to time. And thankful for all of our visitors today. Lord, we know that you are the Lord of the harvest. And it is your harvest. And this is your church. That word church means an assembling of the people. And Jesus gathers his sheep into local church assemblies. We know those founding members of Bethlehem Church, Lord, 200 years ago, they felt themselves to be lonely in this wilderness country, like sheep having no shepherd. And so they conferred together under the leadership of your Holy Spirit to be gathered together into a church body at this place. Because you, Lord, were drawing them. Jesus was drawing and gathering his sheep together. So, Father, now we pray that as you did on the day of Pentecost, there in the book of Acts chapter 2, that you, Lord, would continue even today to add to your church. For we know, Father, that you're the only one who can add to your church. Help us to remain faithful. Lord, you've always been faithful to us. But help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Now forgive our many sins, faults, and failures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see here in the New Testament the ministry of Jesus Christ, that when he was beginning his ministry in Galilee, Matthew chapter 4, he called rough fishermen to be his disciples. And when he called Peter and John and others, they immediately left their fishing nets and followed Jesus. Can you imagine that? And not only did they leave their fishing nets, they had to leave family and friends and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus drew them to himself effectually because he's God. And he's the only one that can draw his people to himself. So it says there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, very similar words that we just read in Matthew chapter 9. You notice that it says this, And Jesus, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Same verse, actually, as in our text. And so we see that he had a ministry of healing. First of all, he had a ministry of teaching. He taught the people the words of God. He is God himself, who was manifest in the flesh over 2,000 years ago, being born of the Virgin Mary. And so he taught and he preached. Notice there, he made a division there. And I believe that his teaching was probably more one-on-one or small groups, family units. And that's important. And where does it begin with us? In our home. It begins in our home with husbands and wives praying together, reading God's Word together. And when they have children, praying with their children and reading God's Word to their children. And as they get older, the children reading God's Word with the parents. Teaching God's Word in the home. Now, there's nothing wrong with church having Bible study. We should have those things. But it begins in the home, because it is the responsibility of parents. But Jesus was and still remains today the master teacher. The master teacher. The writings of Paul in one verse says that men will not be taught by men, but all will be taught of the Lord. If you're a child of God, if you felt the Spirit of God's grace working in your lives, that's evidence that you've been born again by God's Holy Spirit. And He has put His law into your heart. 2 Corinthians says, is written in our heart. And He teaches us in our heart. So as we read the written Word, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is the living Word, attends to that reading. And as we pray, He opens up our understanding. And then He also preached many sermons, the greatest of which is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And He preached to great multitudes, didn't He? And they concluded that never a man spake like this man. He was unique. He spoke with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees spoke. Because He's God. He has all authority and all power in heaven and in earth. And what did He preach? He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now that kingdom is also referred to as the kingdom of heaven in the Matthew's gospel. In other places, the kingdom of God. It is that spiritual place that we as God's children have the privilege to dwell in as we live in this old life, this low ground of sin and sorrow. I preached on that last Sunday about entering into God's rest in the kingdom of heaven in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And then it says that He went about healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, why do you suppose He did that? Well, number one, it was to affirm who He is. To affirm who He is. That He was indeed God manifest in the flesh. For no mortal man could do the miracles of healing that Jesus did, because He's the one who created us. And He created us body, soul, and spirit. So being our Creator and our Redeemer, He is God, is the only one, truly, who can heal our sicknesses and heal our diseases. But it testified to the people of that day of who he is, that he was God being manifest in the flesh as the perfect God-man. The perfect God-man. Now, as you know, many of the multitudes of his day followed after Jesus for the natural blessing, more so than the spiritual blessing. Certainly, anybody who was sick with diseases, they obviously wanted to be healed. Those that couldn't see, those that couldn't hear, those that couldn't talk, those who could not walk, and even three who died. Lazarus, the daughter of Jairus, and the widow's son at Nain. So in his earthly ministry, he raised three individuals from death unto life. Because he said in John chapter 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. In other places he said he has power on earth to forgive sin. And so he says now, he was moved with compassion on them. He had compassion on the multitudes wherever he went. And he still has compassion on you and I today. Because they fainted. Do you often faint in this low ground of sin and sorrow? I know you do. Not just physically. As we grow older, we know these bodies are wearing out. And it takes more rest and more sleep. And we can't do as much as we used to do physically. And so physically, we faint in these old bodies that we inhabit. Because they are tainted with sin. Tainted with sin. We were born dead in sin. But yet we've been made alive in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And they were like sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. Now I would like to look at Jesus in three aspects of the character of him being our shepherd. Jesus gathers his sheep. First, I want to look at Jesus being the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. The good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we find this in verse 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus said in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, and even God in the Old Testament, he compares his people to sheep. And I have no experience with sheep, but I'm told that they are always prone to wander. And there's a great old hymn that says something about that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that's how we are in the flesh. Now, being a child of God, you've been born by the Holy Spirit. But we still have the old fallen carnal flesh to deal with in this life. And too often, we yield ourselves to our carnal nature and we go astray. We go astray. The great prophet Isaiah tells us about this in Isaiah's writings. The most famous chapter, chapter number 53, Isaiah 53, when he says there in verse 6 of Isaiah 53, that all of we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Back in the days of Joshua and also in the days of Judges, it is said that the people of Israel did that which was right in their own eyes. They did that which was right in their own eyes. Now, what happens when we do that? We're following our own understanding, and we are straying away from the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But then, what did Jesus do? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you imagine that? The God of glory sent his Son to bear our iniquities, all of them, past, present, and future. All of our sin was laid on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And when the Lord raised him from the dead, his righteousness was imputed to us. There was a great exchange made. He took our judgment that we deserve in our place. And on that cross, David himself even spoke as if it were Jesus himself speaking in the Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 1. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now that was David feeling forsaken of God in his own wilderness experience. But yet Jesus Christ cried those same questions on the cross of Calvary as he was on that wooden cross. He said those very words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? On that cross, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness upon the whole entire earth. There was a complete total eclipse of total darkness over the whole entire earth, I do believe, for 3 hours. And it was in those 3 hours of darkness that he was bearing our sins in his own body on the cross. He says there in Psalm 22, verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou hast brought me to the dust of death. And so that is prophetic of Jesus on the cross. Now in John chapter 10, so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and as the good shepherd, he said, I give my life for the sheep. Now, he was speaking primarily in that day to the Jews. But look, if you will, in verse number 16 of John 10, he said this, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that is of the Jews, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold and one shepherd. The fold is God's people, the church, and he is the good shepherd. In verse 17 of John 10, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Notice Jesus said, I lay down my own life that I might take it again. And he clarifies that in John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Yes, sinful men nailed Jesus to the cruel Roman cross, but in reality, no man took his life from him. As a matter of fact, he's the only one in all of history who has ever had the ability to choose the very moment of their death. It says that at the proper time, he gave up the ghost and he yielded the ghost. He yielded up the ghost voluntarily of his own choosing. For he says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father in heaven. So, Jesus, as God in the flesh, knew that the Father had given him power over life and over death. So, as the Good Shepherd, Jesus gives his life for his sheep. Now, point number two. He's also referred to in Scripture as the Great Shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us this, that he's the Great Shepherd. Hebrews 13, 20. Now he says, the God of peace. He made peace on the cross between us and God. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. How? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, before the world began, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made an everlasting, eternal covenant that we often call the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. Before creation, the Father purposed to have a people. He gave that people to His Son, Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, Jesus came and paid the price for our sin. And then, as we were born into this world, at the proper time, the Holy Spirit comes effectually drawing us and quickening us from a state of death and sin to a life in Christ through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Make you perfect, whole, or complete in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I would like to now look at the 23rd Psalm as being the great shepherd song of the great shepherd Jesus Christ, who tenderly cares for His sheep. As the great shepherd, He tenderly cares for His sheep. Now, many, many years ago, in 1998, Sister Bertie Brannon wrote a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. I want to read it to you just now. Sister Bertie wrote this about the 23rd Psalm. It's entitled, My Shepherd. She wrote, The Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. His hand will guide me wherever I go. David prayed in Psalm 31, verse 3, Lord, lead me and guide me. If I climb the high mountain where joy doth abide, I can feel His sweet presence. He is there to abide. Aren't you thankful for those mountaintop experiences? And we're having one right now, I trust. A mountaintop experience where joy doth abide. And we feel His sweet presence, for He is there by our side. But when I walk in the valley, because we're not going to stay on the mountaintop, are we? When I walk in the valley, the days are so drear, but yet He is right there beside me to comfort and cheer. He is the great comforter. Jesus was the comforter of His people when He walked the earth. But then in John chapter 14, or excuse, I believe it's in chapter 14 and 16, He says, "It is needful that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come. But if I go away, my Father will send the Comforter to you, for He is with you, and He shall be in you forever." And Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 says that He comforted us with the comfort of God. "He has set me a table, now I must eat." That is a spiritual table. Now His Word is complete. His Word is our meat and our drink. You know, Jesus said metaphorically, "My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me." And they were talking about food. And they used the word meat for food. And Jesus said, "My meat, my food, is to do the will of my Father who sent me." And that will was that of all the Father gave Him, that He would lose none, but raise them up again at the last day. John chapter 6 and verse 38. "But He comforts and cheers. Now He has set me a table. Now I must eat. My cup runneth over. What a bountiful feast." I think there's an old hymn that says, "I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed." And we could never keep all of the blessings of God. We could never number them. There are more than can be numbered. She said, "When my journey is ended now, my chores laid aside, I will be with Him and there will abide." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I will be with Him and there will abide. For the Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. His hand will guide me wherever I go." What a wonderful paraphrase that is of the 23rd Psalm. And He leads us. Now, when the 23rd Psalm says that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, certainly, we often, almost always, hear the 23rd Psalm in funerals. But yet, it's really more, if you look at it, it's really more a psalm about living than it is about dying. Because it's really talking about the mountaintop experiences of life and those low valleys that we go through. The shadow of death, shadows cannot hurt you, can they? No. Now, children are often afraid of shadows, and sometimes you might be frightened by a shadow. Shadows can't hurt. Yeah, it's the source behind the shadow that we worry about, isn't it? But yet, for you as a child of God, there is no fear in death, because Christ has overcome death. Now, finally, I want to look at Jesus being the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 5. Here, the Apostle Peter is looking forward to Jesus coming again. Aren't you thankful that the life we have on earth is not all there is to living? I know you are. See, one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to physically die before Jesus returns. This old body will be laid in the grave, but the spirit immediately goes back to God who gave it. Or there will be some of us still living on this earth when Jesus comes again. Either way, we're going to be with the Lord forever. And so he says to the ministry, first of all, in verse number 2 of 1 Peter, chapter 5, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but of a ready mind. And then verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. He's coming again someday. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But let me tell you something about the crown of glory. It says in Revelation that they laid their crowns before the feet, before the throne of God. In other words, we're not going to be giving ourselves any glory. We're going to be laying those crowns at the feet of Jesus, giving Him the glory. And so it is over in Psalm chapter 24. This is the psalm of the chief shepherd who will appear as the King of glory. Now make no mistake, Jesus is already the King of glory. He's not waiting to rule in His kingdom. He's not waiting to be king. He is king now. But listen to these words in Psalms chapter 24, verses 7 through 10. 7 through 10 of Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He is coming again someday. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. The Lord of armies, the word host there, is a military term. And we are His army. The Apostle John tells us this in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God and daughters of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But this is what we know. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Isn't that wonderful to know? We don't know how it's going to be. But we know this. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, face to face. Paul in Corinthians 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now finally, I want you to see this application in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we close now, 1 Corinthians 15. Now Paul said that in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then he says this in verse 58. Here is our application. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Knowing this, let's get 57 first. 57 first. But thank be to God. Give God the thanks. Give Him the glory. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory. Victory in Jesus. But when we give thanks, what are we supposed to do? Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, something else we know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor for Him, when it's done in the proper motive, a motive of love of God and love for our fellow man, will not go in vain. It will be a blessing to His people, and we ourselves will receive a blessing in return. So remember this, Jesus has always, He is now, and until He comes again, He will continue to gather His sheep. As the good shepherd, He laid down His life for the sheep. As the great shepherd, He tenderly cares for His sheep. And as the chief shepherd, and as the King of glory, He shall come again, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.